Well, good afternoon, everyone. This afternoon, it's my pleasure to talk about a program called Youth Mappers. Over the past year or so, I've had the pleasure of being a fellow at USAID in Washington, D.C., and this is one of the AID programs that I think has tremendous untapped potential for our universities. And so my co-author today is Chad Blevins. He's the technical person. I'm not a technical person with GIS mapping, but Chad is, and he works in the Geocenter within USAID. So today I just want to talk about what is Youth Mappers and why we have it and where are the chapters, what do they do, and lastly, how you can be involved in this. So these are student-led clubs at universities who generate GIS data to provide solutions to developmental challenges. And this is using OpenStreetMap. And so all the data is open. It was founded by Texas Tech University, West Virginia University, and George Washington University with support from the Geocenter at USAID. There are currently 154 chapters, or there were when I checked last week, there may be more by now, in 42 countries around the world. And together to date, they've generated 17 million edits to maps. These are both student clubs and formal courses. Formal courses tend to be in geography departments, but the student-led clubs involve students in many different departments, from geography, agriculture, health, political science, and business. And you'll see as we go along how this interacts. So youth is a priority within USAID. As we can see from the two maps on the left, the top one is Ethiopia, and this is typical of a developing country. Where we have a very high youth population. The bottom one is the United States. This is the shape of our population, not of any individual within the population, although that might look somewhat reminiscent. But very different in terms of our youth populations. And so for a bunch of reasons that you see outlined here, USAID is very interested in youth. And so this feeds into that very nicely. So where are these youth mapper chapters? You'll see we're heavily focused in many of the countries where USAID is interested, in Africa, Southern Asia, but also in countries that are not target countries of USAID, Italy, Germany, Spain, and so in developed countries as well. And also a number of chapters in the US and in some in Central America where USAID is obviously quite interested. And so when I looked at the map, I saw that Purdue was not represented on that map. And when I finished my fellowship and returned to campus, I hope to rectify that and put one more spot on the map there. Okay, so a few examples of some youth mapper chapters and the sort of things that they do. And maybe this will give a good example of sort of the activities they can get involved with. One was in Ghana, and it was a soybean mapping project involving the Soybean Innovation Lab. And that was in collaboration with the University of Cape Coast in Ghana. And they were looking at the production areas of soybean and the processing areas for soybean. And mapping these, the students went out and interviewed processors, they went and interviewed farmers, and some of the suppliers and markets of those. And so they produced a report at the end of it. They used the Kobo Toolbox tools that, to collect data. These are tools that run on a smartphone. And they had a couple of hypotheses. First one was, do processors have an influence over price of soybean? The answer was no. Hypothesis two is, Kumasi a good location for soybean processing facilities, even though it's not near the production areas? And the conclusion was, yes, it's a good place because there's more involved in the processing than just raw materials, such as a reliable source of energy and labor and things like that. And so they learned about soybeans and a whole lot more. So another quick example was a disease called schistosomiasis in the Senegal River Valley. And this is a disease caused by a parasite, and the intermediate phase of this parasite is in a snail. And so they mapped and this is a serious disease, especially for children. And so they mapped where the snails were located as a proxy for the disease. And they looked at mapping rural villages, to develop these epidemiological models so to predict the disease, and so now we can target where intervention strategies should be focused towards. This was a collaborative project between two universities in Senegal and one in Italy, in Milan. And this is a model of how it could work with US chapters. I'll talk a bit more about that later on. And so, so some of these epidemiological models already exist, but using data generated in this project, it's a way of fine-tuning that. At the moment, we have kind of a 30,000-foot view, and by generating more data from on the ground, we can really fill in that and look at a lot more detail. Another example is urban waste management in Bangladesh. And in some of these very large cities in developing countries, waste management is a huge problem. And the problem is there may be waste bins and disposal sites, but people don't know where they are, and they're not necessarily located in the right spots. Well, we can address this using mapping. And a lot of these use apps for smartphones, and using that, they've been able to locate disposal sites close to areas of the highest population density, and people can locate disposal sites close to them using the apps. Another one is mapping to end malaria, so basically this was We have a mapathon. You get all these universities, they focus on a single problem, and they hit it hard for over a short period of time. So in 2017, we had over 5,000 mappers, and they added over 5 million buildings to the maps. And so, again, we can look at development of disease, we can look at these buildings, we can look at intervention strategies. And in a pictorial sense, this is what Zimbabwe looked like in terms of mapping buildings, and this was in December 2016, okay? And there are 100,000 buildings mapped. Less than a year later, there were almost 5 million buildings mapped, okay? And these are high contrast and high intensity satellite images were provided to these student clubs around the world, and they can address them and help map those. And so this is where a student club at one of our universities in the U.S. can have impact in developing countries. And so there's many others, and I put too many slides in my presentation, but you can see some of the areas here, and not necessarily horticultural based, as you see. But I think it's a potential for our students to interact with students across our universities to address some of these developmental challenges. And so our students typically are tech-savvy, they're curious, open-minded, and willing to address things that might fail. They're not put off by failure. I think as we get older, maybe we get a little more risk-averse. They're willing to share peer-to-peer and willing to interact with communities and eager to build their capacity. And so I think these traits are true of our students, but they're also true of students in developing countries. And so so we can leverage these traits in programs such as Youth Mappers. This is straight off the Youth Mappers website and sort of captures what we do. We don't just build maps, we build mappers. Well, that's not a definition of capacity building. I don't know what is. And so the idea is the mission is to cultivate a generation of young leaders to create resilient communities and to define their world by mapping it. Even in the U.S., a lot of our communities are not well mapped. I was talking to one of the founders of the program at George Washington University, and I said, yeah, but, you know, our community is pretty well mapped. He said, you're from Purdue, right? And I said, yeah. And one of the strengths at Purdue was engineering. And I thought, oh, yeah, it's probably. He said, okay, let's bring it up. He brought it up. Half the buildings on campus aren't named on the maps. We don't know what they are. Right? I'm like, okay, I take your point. And so I think there's tremendous potential. So what's in this for students, for our students? I think many of our universities were focused on study abroads and meaningful global experiences. And some of our universities doing a pretty good job with this. But I think we can all do better. And programs such as this makes these programs available to students without leaving home, right? They can stay there and have some of these experiences. And I think it builds a socially engaged citizenry, both within our students and students in developing countries. We can foster youth exchanges and leadership. Students can develop leadership through some of these programs. There's leadership workshops and fellowships offered through this program for student leaders to collaborate on some of these. There's virtual internships where students at our universities can do a virtual internship with USAID and really build their skill level and develop capacity in some of these programs. It builds non-cognitive skills. We often call these soft skills. And these are the skills that employers value most, both here and in developing countries. Things like communication skills, work readiness skills, ability to work in teams. And so this really fosters that. And many of students in developing countries that have been involved in Youth Mappers have gained employment based on their experiences. And so we have these youth leadership workshops, and I'm going to skip through the next couple of slides, but you can see these are some of the lightning talks presented by students at these workshops. And so these students are really getting engaged and thinking about these things. This is what one of the Ghanaian students said about the Soybean Innovation Lab project. The past 2 weeks have been a real eye-opener for us. In retrospect, it is amazing that we moved from knowing next to nothing about soybeans and its processing to being pummeled with tons of information and being introduced to first-hand experiences about the livelihoods of poultry farmers and processors, more so that we can do this in our own country, Ghana. Okay? You can almost hear the passion for the student, right, and the impact on the student. And also the US student who was involved in that project. Finally, and above all else, I miss and reflect on the people I met during our trip. Never have I made the acquaintance of more kindly, warm-hearted people than those I met in Ghana. Again, real global impact. So I'm going to skip through the next couple of slides and get to my conclusion here because I'm getting short on time. I think there's a tremendous opportunity for our students to partner our students with students in clubs in Ghana or in developing countries. And not only do students learn some of the technical skills, but students are really focused on real-world problem solving. These are real-world problems that they can have an impact in. International and cultural experiences, technical skills. So I think there's a lot of pluses. And although there's a bunch of chapters in the US, I think there's opportunity for even more, and not necessarily just in geography departments, but for our students and across our universities. So I've tried to give a snapshot of this program. I'm fired up about this. I think there's a lot of scope for this to expand to greater heights than it already is. And so with that, I'm going to conclude. If I have time for questions, I'm happy to take them. If not, I'm happy to talk with folks afterwards.
We have time for one question.
Yeah.
Is it only university students, or are you engaging primary school or high school age youth as well?
You know, that's a really good question. Right now it's focused at university students, but I could see high school students getting involved in this also. And so I think there's potential to go in that direction, although it's not focused on that at the current time.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you.